All right. Well, I'm Sita, also known as Sita Gaya. So I was asked to speak about transformation. And, well, transformation is my topic. So transformation is so often talked about. But what is it, really? When I think of transformation, I think of the cliched image of the butterfly emerging from the cocoon, brand new. But what does it mean to me? I am an epileptic. I think you know that by now. Okay, so you might be asking yourself, so what? What does this have to do with transformation? Oh, so much. I was diagnosed when I was 10 years old, and for roughly 10 years, my seizures were very well controlled. I was happy-go-lucky, and off I went to attend university in Ottawa. I was thriving, but then suddenly at 21, I started having seizures left, right, and center. I had to adapt to living with an uncontrolled chronic illness, which is ultimately deemed as medication resistant. I changed to learning seizure first aid and to teach others, and feeling scared to leave my house. I transformed into an angry and depressed person. Despite graduating university with all the odds stacked against me, I was left feeling exhausted. My depression stemmed from a feeling of, why me? This wasn't part of my plan. Did you hear that, universe? It seems so unfair, but I robbed myself of a fulfilling life by constantly comparing myself to my peers. She got her master's of social work. He got a raise. She's traveling all over the world. Grad school was out of the option, as my biggest concern was to not have a seizure while showering. I could not think of grad school or traveling. Despite ongoing counseling, I was stuck in the past and my so-called old life, or I might put it as a better life. In my old life, I went to the gym, I danced twice a week, and my so-called worries, and my so-called and had no worries around showering. Wasn't an issue. I missed my friends in Ottawa terribly and found no sense of community. After joining a yoga studio and finally regularly taking antidepressants, that was key, I started to feel more like Sita and less like a victim. I made the transformation yet again. From feeling sorry for myself and depressed to feeling in control of my own life. Yes, I have epilepsy, but I did not choose the diagnosis. The only person getting in my way was me. So I have transformed towards acceptance. Let me tell you that accepting a life of a lifelong condition is not easy. But to see myself as no longer a victim helped me to become my true and authentic self again. I want to use my academic and personal experiences to help people with chronic illnesses, as well as to help people understand them. That is my biggest goal. So to leave you with a Chinese proverb, just when the caterpillar thought its life was over, it became a beautiful butterfly. Thank you.
8 months ago, I moved from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia to New Westminster. I sold my house, my car, and divested myself of furniture, appliances, tools, books, clothes, pots, pans, all the things you need to run a home. I brought with me only 2 suitcases and a small dog, 12 boxes followed by Canada Post. I come from a family whose members don't usually go anywhere. The last years of his life, one of my grandfathers never left his house. Regardless, raising 4 children on my own, there was no money for travel. So you see, the very idea of a move to the other side of the continent was appalling, unthinkable. In the fall of 2014, I was in despair, suffering from anxiety, from both employment and family difficulties. I'd been dealing with a long period of harassment at work with no hope of resolution, and was very troubled by a fractured relationship with my son. I was so disappointed with how my life had turned out. During the time I'd been raising the children, when I wasn't thinking I couldn't possibly survive the process, I was moved by the idea of Marmee from Little Women, embraced by her loving children, grateful for all the sacrifices she had made so they could grow up safe and surrounded by love. The reality was so much different. I felt so alone. The moment of transformation was not when I decided to move to New Westminster, or when I stepped off the plane in this new land. It was when I changed from being a person who had always lived in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and who was going to die in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, to a person who could live, and yes, die, on the other side of this enormous country. The transformation was leaving behind my dream and trusting in a new life, one I couldn't even imagine. While it was emotionally difficult to plan such radical downsizing, it is impossible to exaggerate the surprise I felt with how everything just fell into place. It would take too long to say how many very fine people assisted with this transition. Some I paid, some volunteered, and when I came to be in New West, I was lovingly embraced by this church community, my co-op community, my neighborhood, my workplace. I am deeply touched by the grace of my experience. Anne Lamott says it better. Grace is unearned love, the love that goes before, that greets us on the way. It's the help you received when you had no bright ideas left, when you are empty and desperate, and have discovered that your best thinking and your most charming charm have failed you. Grace is the light or electricity or juice or breeze that takes you from that isolated place and puts you with others who are as startled and embarrassed and eventually grateful as you are to be there. But I still have many questions. Did I decide too fast? Could I have stomached staying there in my old job going on from week to week? Did I have to make such a drastic break? Will I ever see my mother alive again? And does any of this really matter? I keep thinking of the idea of home. If it is people, not place, how can you move to be with part of your family and leave the others behind? Are you still home? It's one thing to have one's children move away, but how do the children cope when their parent goes? I do feel a backward yearning toward Nova Scotia, where my eldest daughter, Louise, and my youngest daughter, Helen, feel my absence. I miss them both so much. Sometimes in the middle of the night, in what L.M. Montgomery called the wisest and most accursed hour of the clock, I look at what I've done and wonder how on earth I came to be here. But being in the midst of loving family members means so much. Nora and Kira, who so appreciate having a nanny nearby, and the challenging, complicated, loving grand boys, so eager to include me. I love the softness of their skin and just the smell of them. And when young Ezra puts his dear little hands on each side of my face to say something he really, really means, I wish I could paint the feeling or sing it or preserve it in a jar. It is so heart-rendingly sweet. I am such a lucky person. I'm reminded of these words from our hymn, "And I'll bring you hope when hope is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the wintertime."
I'm Sue. I retired about 14 years ago. It wasn't planned. there was a reorganization of the department, and my job was to be eliminated. Oh well. I had my 10 years in and was the right age, so I decided to simply retire instead. They gave me a party and a whopping big severance package. And then what? No longer could I measure myself by what I did at work. No longer did I have the friends and colleagues that had at work. No longer did I have to get up in the morning and go somewhere. No longer was I a contributing member of society. So then what? Well, it took me maybe 2 years, about the same length of time it took me to leave an unhappy marriage. Imagine that. And that 2 years is kind of what I want to talk to you about. But let me give you the bookend first, the happily ever after part, right? At the end of that 2 years, I had been cast to play the role of Mother Abbess in The Sound of Music at the Royal City Musical Theater in New Westminster, and also to play the role of Ruth in Pirates of Penzance with the North Shore Light Opera Society. And that started what has been a very satisfying creative process for me, and I continue to learn and act and expand my artistic self-expression. So the butterfly phrase is doing quite well. Thank you very much. But in the meantime, inside the cocoon, the 2 years between, things were a bit bleak. I felt as if I could go anywhere and do anything. But that's kind of a burden too. I didn't feel like I had ground under my feet, or, you know, that the song about roots hold me close. Well, there were no roots, and I was flapping my wings desperately, but I wasn't flying anywhere. So I didn't know what to do with myself. I felt as if I had stepped off the cliff and there wasn't yet any ground underneath my feet. What was I to do? Who was I to be? I began to question everything. Had I made the right decision in choosing to retire rather than stay on the callback list? Should I move out of my cooperative housing unit? Maybe this wasn't the right place for me to be. Was I employable anywhere else? Was I too old to get another job? And of course, all of the answers were bleak and depressing. But fortunately, and good for me, I have good people in my personal support group, and they began to ask me different questions. If you could do anything in the world, what would you do? If money were no barrier, where would you be, and what would you do? What kind of difference do you want to make in the world that you have not already made? What will challenge you to be more than you are? Good questions, huh? And somehow, the key to all this was in the questions. The questions contain the answer, which we're going to sing about pretty soon. In the Unitarian hymn, We Laugh, We Cry, we're going to sing about that. We believe in life, in the strength of love, and have found a joy in being together. And in our search for peace, maybe we'll finally see that even to question truly is the answer. So with the help of worthy friends, I began to make a list. I wrote down what kind of job I wanted. If I wanted a job, where would it be? And what kinds of people would I be working with? It was a long list. I wrote down what I liked and admired about myself, which was also a long list. And I began to look for opportunities to make those lists real. But I wasn't searching very hard. I just made the list. And then within a short period of time, I saw the audition notices for both shows that I talked about, and a small job posting with a naturopathic medical college. I applied for all three, and I got them. My lists became reality. And the rest, as they say, is history, or is Sue's story. So I was transformed from a corporate administrative drone into an amazing singer, actor, performer who helped people, who were helping people heal themselves. Not too shabby, eh? Now, did I have a picture of this end in mind when I started my lists? No, I just knew the elements, and I let the universe supply the specifics. I did my part by being prepared and taking action and saying yes when the universe offered me what I said I wanted. Oh, yeah, and there was another wee list, too. One that described a community of people who worked for social justice and supported one another in their spiritual journeys. A place where I would feel welcomed and appreciated and challenged and loved. A group within which I could belong and on whom I could rely to nudge me forward or pull me back to help me keep my spirit on track. And that's Beacon. Although I did it one time, I don't fear transformation anymore. I welcome it, but I don't pretend that it will be instant or easy, or take a long time, or be hard. It just is. There is a time between one thing and the next, but that time could be an instant, or it could be years. The only way to know is by reflection, in retrospect, after the transformation has occurred, and then by going forward as a new being, as this transformed self, until the next time.